If you're a pastor, elder, deacon, nonprofit, board member, or business owner, I need you to listen to this. K&K Furnishings needs to be on your short list. K&K Furnishings are committed to helping you find the right furnishings for your church or organization. These guys specialize in quality worship seating, welcome centers, cafes, nurseries, classrooms, as well as stage and podium furnishings. The two owners have over 70 years of combined pastoral experience, so not only will every transaction be handled with integrity and professionalism, but they have the experience to provide you with the perfect solutions for your furniture needs, and they absolutely understand your budget constraints and demands. K&K Furnishings are devoted to providing you quality pieces that save you money. They can do this because they don't have the overhead of a brick and mortar store, and they have relationships with over 200 manufacturers nationwide. Look, we all know there's a lot of junk out there. K&K understands that many times bargains aren't true money savers. They end up costing you more in the long run. At K&K, they believe that quality furnishings don't have to be outrageously expensive. And here's the best part. K&K Furnishings sells nationally and can also provide in-person consultations in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. If you can't meet in person, they'd be happy to set up a Zoom consultation for you today. So whatever your next project is, whether it's your home office or your church sanctuary, K&K Furnishings is the only place you need to look. Go to www.kkfurnishings.com to see how they can help you, or call 567-318-4520. That's www.kkfurnishings.com, or call 567-318-4520, or click on the link in the description of this episode. K&K Furnishings, furnishing business, education, worship, and hospitality for the glory of God. Hey guys, before we get into this week's episode, I gotta tell you about Jacob's Supply. Jacob's Supply is the place you gotta go for all of your material needs. These guys bring you construction supplies and appliances for up to 50% off retail price, all brand new. You a home builder? Need some lumber? Jacob's Supply has you covered. You a deacon at your church and you're in charge of that next Narthex floor job? Jacob's Supply has got you. Heck, they got Cortec Luxury Vinyl Plank right now for $3.59 a square foot. Go look that stuff up at Lowe's or Home Depot, man. That stuff is selling for $7 to $8 a square foot. That's over 50% off retail. Even if you just have some home projects you're working on, Jacob's Supply is the place for you. I just built an outdoor grilling area this spring for that old smoker and grill. Guess where I got the metal roof, lumber, and screws? Yeah, that's right, Jacob's Supply. Looking for a fridge, stove, washer, dryer? They got them all, and they're name brand. Samsung, Bosch, Frigidaire, all 20, 30, 40% off retail. Brand new and ready for you. Located in Temperance, Michigan, it's worth it to stop by even if you're a few hours away. And remember, Jacob's Supply can ship products nationally too. So even if you're out of state, you got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook at Jacob's Supply or call them direct at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978. Remember, Jacob's Supply, quality building materials at wholesale prices. And now, on to the show. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Moore. Thanks for coming along on the ride, guys. Thanks for checking out dmwpodcast.com, where you can support the show. We got some snarky merch over there. You can still get it in time for Christmas if you want to order it. 25% off your entire order, $50 or more. Also, thank you to Jacob Supply. He's a sponsor of the show. Quality building prices at discounted prices. I'm sorry, did I say quality building price? Quality building products at discounted prices. And he ships nationally too. Gets all kind of on steel, on barns, on appliances. Check them out, jacobsupply.com. It'll be linked up to this episode here. We want to support that brother in the Lord. He does a good job. But now that the shameless self-promotion is out of the way, we want to get right into it because we got a special guest. And I know we say that every week, but this is a special guest. He's worked in the broadcasting industry for quite a while. I think he did some stuff with San Jose Sharks. I know he contributed at Turning Point for a little bit. All those different things. It's John Root. John, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for having me. This is fun. We talked about this when we went at the Fight Laugh Feast conference together, and I'm sure we could cover a little bit of that fun little debacle that led to like some of these connections and everything, but it's good to be here. And I don't know, like you said, I worked in sports media for a long time before I got canceled. So, you know, cancel culture hit me, it found me, Jesus found me and cancel culture found me. That's what I tell people. And it was great working in sports media, absolute blessing. I played D2 football, so I'll never pretend like I was some major stud But God blessed me to play D2 football at Azusa Pacific. And I always knew I wanted to go, you know, pro in something other than sports, kind of like those old Enterprise commercials people saw watching sports growing up. And I love the Stuart Scotts growing up. Like, so he was just booyah anytime someone watched Sports Center. And that was just like the epitome of sports was, I want to know the highlights. I want to know what's going on. And I want to have some fun and get away from the craziness of the world by watching Sports Center or just be involved in sports in general. So for me, I want to be involved in sports media. And then I was lucky enough to work for the Sharks, the Golden State Warriors organization, specifically working with their G League team. And I did some stuff with NBC Sports, the major sports broadcaster out there in the Bay Area. That's where I was born. And I know a lot of people are probably like, how did this Northern California Bay Area kid turn out okay, like not only conservative and Christian? I'm sure we can go over that. That's all God for sure, and being born in a fantastic family. But pandemic hit, everything shut down, and then, you know, God was really pushing me towards a place of like, there's a lot of things that I haven't been able to speak out about, because I always tell people, you can't just go guns blazing and be like, oh, I can't believe all the people just don't like me. It's like, as Christians, first and foremost, we're countercultural. So I can talk about the LGBTQ stuff, the way that Pride Nights have been hijacked and all the social justice nonsense, but I'd have to know that I'm going to lose my job. So I was kind of a little bit more like even keel about that stuff. I'd have good conversations behind the scenes, but if I shared that stuff publicly, everything I work for would be done. But God ended up, you know, kind of ripping sports media away from me in a sense. When I worked for a company called Fanatics, I went to the gym out here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I live now. And I moved out here during the pandemic, and I went to the gym without a mask the day that our governor said, go ahead and decide for yourself. What a concept. And you would have thought that I murdered 55 people in that gym and took a gym mirror selfie of it. But that led me to working for Turning Point USA, being a contributor with them, not just getting to peek behind the curtain, but fully being behind the curtain of conservatism and finding out how really godless that is. There's some amazing people doing some incredible work, but also too, it's a place where people start idolizing politicians, political parties, and how, you know, more than anything, I still love sharing sports, the non-woke side of sports, stories that you probably wouldn't see with mainstream sports media. And for some reason, God's provided me a platform. I don't think it's really anything massive, but it's big enough to be able to, you know, have great connections like I do with you now and the guys at Cross Politic, G3, so many people in these reform circles. Like, I'm learning a lot, and more than anything too, I want to filter everything through scripture. That's my very long intro and bio, and hopefully that gives everybody a clear understanding of who John Root is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you for that. So there's so many things that we could touch on here that I want to talk about, not just sports related. And let's get into it, because you came across my radar. Actually, I was watching some interview clips from G3. I went to the national conference in 21. I wasn't able to get down there this year, but I always keep up on that stuff. Josh has been on the program before. The Let's, you know, Just Thinking guys, Daryl and Virgil, love those guys. You know, have conversations with Owen back and forth. So I keep tabs on that, and just wanted to see what was going on. James White's been on, and I know he spoke there. So wanted to see what was going on. And I saw you interviewing a couple guys. I think it was Owen at the time. And I didn't really know who you were. And I watched the clip and didn't think anything of it, except, man, they got a good-looking guy, good-looking kid down there doing these interviews. Like, you look sharp, you know, dress sharp, look good. And then like a day or two later, Sweatshirt Gate breaks open with my friend AD Robles, who said, what the heck is this guy? You know, basically made something to what you were wearing, which that's what AD does, whatever. It is what it is. I don't know if it was necessarily a personal attack. I think it was, hey, you know, he's got some qualms with some of the G3 guys. I'm friends with Cross Politic. I'm friends with G3. I'm kind of caught in the middle of the dang thing. I would just want us all to advance the kingdom of God by preaching the gospel and one of repentance and true Christ. But with that being said, I went, wait a minute, that's the guy that I just saw for the first time 2 days ago on an interview, you know, because so, you were doing, I think, some of the interviews down there. And that kind of led me into following you on Twitter, seeing what you're posting, what you're talking about. And I went, man, this guy goes hard on Twitter. I mean, he doesn't, you know, from what it was kind of framed by some of the guys, like, oh, he might be this kind of soft, kind of squishy, even jellyfish, you know, just down there appeasing G3. And then I was looking at your
social media, and I was like, oh, this is one of my bros, dude. No, he takes some really hard stances. He's, you know, you're not mean about it, but you're very upfront about what the Word of God says. And that's kind of where I started following you and kind of learning about you. So, you know, I've only known of you probably for the last 4, 5, 6 months. It has blossomed into something. I'm glad that we are at least online friends and I can see your content because I think it's great. And we talked a little bit at Fight Laugh Feast, but tell me about what you thought when that whole thing went down with just, and to be clear for those listening that don't know, I think it was because something similar to what you're wearing today, right? He didn't like the, what was it? The sweatshirt.
Hoodie blazer combo.
Which in my younger days, I rock, dude. I love that. I think it's a great combo of classic and casual. Like, let's go, you know?
Yep. And that's the thing for me is like, I can't pretend I'm a tough guy. Like, I'm a tall, blonde haired, very white, goofy looking guy. And right now I'm drinking a smoothie. So like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some sort of alpha male over here. But I know, especially with a lot of the Christian nationalist conversation, I think it's led to, you know, quite frankly, and I'm not like throwing anybody specifically under the bus, but I think there's a lot of vitriol and there's a lot of, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody on this side is doing it well and everybody on that side is not doing it well. Like, just like you said, we want to come together as Christians, and no doubt everybody wants this to be a God-honoring nation. Obviously, the way that we go about that is can be drastically different. And the way that we have discourse online sometimes just doesn't lead to fruitful conversation. But you know, I was blessed enough to get connected with Virgil Walker just a little over a year ago. He's been a great mentor of mine, a great friend. He's just an awesome human being that loves the Lord so well. And I think he's been a great hire for G3. And he asked me to be the host of the live stream for their national conference. And I was super humbled and very thankful because, I mean, I just got to continue to be open and honest. Like, I don't have a seminary degree, and right. You know, I'm someone that is just really studying the Word. I'm going through discipleship with my pastor. I got great mentors, and I know I'm connected with the Apologia guys out here. I'm connected with Costi Hinn out here in Phoenix. Like, I'm learning a lot, so I'm never going to position myself as, hey, John Root is the authority figure of. Yeah. You know, some sort of heavy theological topic. Sure, I have plenty of my thoughts, but what I saw here and what I've done continually throughout my career is first and foremost, before we got to Hoodie Blazer Gate, is Owen Strand said some stuff that really irks some people. And some people saw it as straw man arguments. Some people saw it as throwing shade without it being at somebody specifically. So I saw me in my position as a person that said, I am reading everything online and I know the questions that need to be asked and the answers that everybody is desperately searching for, because I know Owen's not going to sit down with people more on the Christian nationalist side, like AD. I don't see that happening. Right. And is that necessarily because of AD? No, that might be more people like connected in his circle. I don't know. I can't speak for Owen. I can't speak for AD. But in general, I wanted it to be extremely helpful for everybody, no matter what side of the Christian nationalist conversation you're at. And then make sure that we're not strawmanning that like everybody that's post-mill is Christian nationalist and everybody that's pre-mill is not. It's like, no, specifically based off what you said, Owen, here's some questions. I'm looking for some answers. Yes, I'll agree with some stuff that Owen says. I believe Owen is a great friend of mine. He's been a good mentor of mine, but also at the same time, it doesn't mean that I go along with everything that Owen said or the way that he went about it was perfect. But in general, it's sure. Like, I thought it was helpful, but what it turned into was, I mean, just plain simple. I didn't like the way that AD went about it because I just saw like, oh, this guy's connected with G3. So all of a sudden this guy's soft. This guy must just fall in line with everything that we're thinking about this guy. Like, yeah, sure, we're all going to judge a book by its cover, whether we believe it or not. Like, we shouldn't be doing that as Christians, but we all do it. So I don't doubt that people look at me and they're like, wait a minute, like, this guy isn't, like, he's not super buttoned up, but he also looks too casual to me. And then when I saw the comment from AD, and again too, it's like AD and I had a great little meeting at Fight Laugh Feast, and it's like water under the bridge, but it's like, come on, I don't need to hear that, like, Owen's telling me what to wear and that, like, the white guilt kind of thing. It's like people can call me soft and be like, oh, well, that's what AD does. But like in general, I was like, just how does this add to fruitful conversation? And how does this make me personally want to listen to what you have to say from here on out? Because it's like, it's not really going to lead me down a path to be like, oh yeah, well, thanks for kind of like those subtle insults. I'm not really going to go crying to mama about something like that, but I'm more just kind of like, shoot, man, if we're having Christian discourse, I just personally am not really going to want to listen to anything else you have to say. But got to meet up with AD and Joel when we're at Fight Laugh Feast. And then like AD was wearing a hoodie under his blazer. And that's kind of my fit. That's what I've always worn. For a long time, ever since I was working with the Sharks, like I'd wear a hoodie under my blazer. I think it's just a different kind of look. I think it keeps me a little bit young and a little bit more hip, because I just don't feel comfortable when I'm putting on a button up underneath my blazer and like maybe like just a suit and tie full thing. It's like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel relatable to me. I don't feel comfortable in it. And I think it allows like people to feel like, let's have theological conversations without feeling like you either have to be incredibly casual or you have to be way too buttoned up.
I like it. No, like I said, I like the look, and I had no issue with it. Here's my issue is, and I think this is a broader issue to what you're speaking to, and tell me what you think about this, is I've found, because I worked in politics a long time too. I'm a locally elected official, but I'm also, I do stuff on campaigns and some national campaigns and stuff. And I found when you're in legislative bodies as well too, and you have caucuses in the political sense, when you have denominations, when you have any type of group, and you get down to a certain type of tribalism where you kind of circle the wagons around your guys. And if things are going really good, then infighting starts. I've seen that in both politics, churches, any type of group, sports. But I'm seeing right now two things in the Christian movement, especially in the Reformed movement as well, is we're really, it's almost like, the outside world's on fire. So let's start nitpicking secondary and third issues within our own community. Because why? I mean, I don't know, but I'm seeing the tribalism too, which I don't like, which is like, okay, the post mill guys are over here, the theonomy guys and post mill over here, and oh, the G3, and they're a little more Baptist and they're over here. And it's like, okay, I get that. That's why we're in different denominations and we have different creeds and confessions, and that's fine. But man, I feel like in the world we're living in right now, a Joel Webbin and an Owen Strand should be linking arms and going, okay, what can we fight together, in this culture right now? Or, a Doug Wilson and, Josh Bice should be going, let's sit down and talk through our issues here that are non-orthodox, that are secondary issues. And, let's move forward. Now, it might be happening at leadership level, and I'm just not privy to it. Some of it I am. But I tell you what, all the kind of the followers and, hey, that guy's my guy type attitude. Yep. And then there's no quarter for any type of grace or give at all, because I have to be right, or I have to look good, or you have to look bad so I look good. It's this weird thing where we fall into this secular, non-Christian kind of tribalism that really bothers me, because maybe, I think I'm a little, maybe we're a little more like to where, look, man, I'm hanging out with my Reformed Baptist brothers. I'm hanging out with the G3 guys. I'm not on the Fight Laugh Feast Network right now. I'm cross politic guys, absolutely, all day long. I am Reformed Presbyterian in my theology, but at the same time, it's like, man, the stuff that separates some of us is so razor blade thin and not necessarily that important in reference to salvation and who Christ is and those orthodox things, that it's like, man, it's not worth my time. Let's go argue, let's go make fun of an atheist or a secularist or a pagan or one of these guys that want to, allow children to have sex change. Like, we have other things going on here. And that's what, that's what I don't like. That's why, like, when I talk to you, I kind of get that same feeling of, yeah, I have my own thoughts. And I know as a broadcaster, we'll get into this. Sometimes it's not your job to have an opinion on something when you're a professional interviewer, broadcaster, trying to bring minds together, put out a production, which I think, man, it feels like there's no grace for that either. Of, look at whatever happened to someone being in the room and allowing two or three or four people to talk, and the person who is controlling or moderating that interview or debate or whatever doesn't necessarily have to have a hard take. That's not their position or lane. Their position or lane is to make sure that whole production, that discussion goes where it should go. The questions that need to be asked are asked. And that's kind of what I was feeling with you when I saw some of your work, and I appreciated that. I don't know. That's a lot to bite on there. But do you have any comments on kind of that tribalism and then also letting people play their roles when it comes to broadcast?
Yeah, a couple of different things there. I mean, first and foremost, a lot of people believe that Twitter is almost real life, that if we have some sort of discussion about this, it needs to be almost debate-like, and it needs to be lively, and there needs to be bombs dropped. And for me, as you said, like, yeah, as a broadcaster, I'm representing G3. So also too, like, I'm not saying that I'm muzzled, but I have enough respect for G3 to know that, hey, I'm going to position myself, you know, whether I'm working for G3 or I was in the same position for like Fight Laugh Feast or anybody else, like, I'm in the position to ask questions. This is not the soapbox moment for John Root or trying to just make some sort of clickbait. And I'm not saying that everybody does that, but what happens within this tribalism is it's a, like you said, it's a terrible witness to people that aren't Christian. So they're like, what the heck? Like, I already like wasn't really much of a fan of Christians. They might, you know, we have the atheists out there or the secularists or whatever it may be. And they're kind of like, like, I already saw these people as kind of like angry, hard-headed. And it doesn't even seem like they get along within seemingly their own family. Cause a lot of people, they don't know denominationalism. Like, they don't understand the difference between a Baptist and a Presbyterian. And they're like, well, what are they even talking about here? And why are they fighting? I don't understand these words. Like, some of these secondary issues, sure, we can debate them until Jesus comes back, and that's fine. But that comes down to agreeing to disagree. We just don't see that in society much anymore. And we're not really seeing it within these Christian circles. So, and then I'm also seeing hints of almost like we see in the word, like, you know, Jesus, who is the greatest? Like, we're almost putting ourselves in these positions to be like, no, like, I almost want to prove a point about my eschatology or about some of these like secondary issues. I don't know, an aspect of like baptism or something like that. Like, I really want to prove that I am right, or the person that I follow very heavily theologically is right. And sure, you can have some fun with like Moscow mood and no quarter and those kind of things. Like, yeah, have some fun with that stuff, because like, I love my brothers and sisters up there, and they've done incredible work. I know my buddy Gabe too. Like, we'll disagree on some stuff. And that's beautiful. He has the ability to shoot me a text, but that guy and Chocolate Knox and Sumter, like everybody, like they put in so much work to like have me out at the conference, and we're chatting all the time and we're learning from each other. But I think often, and I know I've fallen into this too, is okay, nobody is really fully going to understand the tone that you have on social media, but we have to think of, we can't control the way that people think, but we can control the way that we react. And if we start just having a little bit more fruitful conversation, I think there is times where like the ship has sailed with some of these conversations. Hopefully, you know, God does a work in everybody's hearts. And I know there's plenty of conversations going on behind the scenes, but especially when it comes to the followers of some of these like social media accounts, these influencers, theologians, apologists, pastors, it starts to get to a point where they're like, well, I don't even know how this is going to be fruitful in the first place. And then also too, you can't just drop a bomb on me, have all your followers go after me, and then be like, you know what, we should sit down and talk about it. It's like, no, you can't hit somebody below the belt essentially. And then be like, you know what? No, it'd be great as if we talked about it. No. Like, the grace and the mercy should have happened many tweets ago, or many months ago, or a couple calls or texts ago, or something like that. So I think the tribalism is really hurting us. And like you said, there's some major issues that we should be focusing on. And sure, there's always going to be division like within the church, but we got to do that in a godly manner and not be prideful about it. And hopefully people understand too that, like, I know it makes it sound like I'm just like, all right, John, you seem like you're taking a very neutral position. Like, no, like, you can read my Twitter, you can know like really what my stance on is on some of these things. But I just mostly see such powerful entities for Christ that need to somehow come together, because if we're going to make this a Christian nation or continue to fight for our God-given rights and make sure that this objective morality is more portrayed and ingrained in our society, we probably need to figure out that there is strength in numbers and we are better together than apart.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so good. So let's shift gears here for a minute. You're a sports guy. You're in the sports world. You're in the broadcasting world. I've always loved talking about this to other believers because I've seen extreme beliefs on this where kind of sports fit into the Christian life. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen some on the very, probably, I don't know if I want to say conservative, but one on one side of the spectrum that it's like, look at juiceless entertainment. They were doing it back in Rome, except back then they were feeding, you know, Christians to lions. We don't need it. Just focus on Christ, meditate on the Bible, you know, preach the word. Okay. Those are all good things, but no. I see people on the other side to where, you know, you've got these crazy mega churches that will literally play out a football game with cheerleaders on stage for a sermon on Sunday morning. Okay. Yeah. That's way too far the other way. So I look at it.
Sunday sermon. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your sermon better not last more than a quarter. We only take 15 minutes at mega churches. After that, we're out. But my point is that I've said this many times on the podcast is like moderation is so next to godliness in so many things, things that the Lord gives us that outside of moderation become very harmful in our lives. And I've experienced some of those things personally that I've either abused or, you know, did not use correctly or in moderation. So where does sports, do you think personally, where do sports fit in to the believer's life, to someone who wants to honor God? Should it, I'll leave it there. Where does it fit in a believer's life? What do you think?
I mean, I think, like you said, it's got to be done in moderation. And the way I see things now, especially within like Christian and conservative circles, there's so many people that are just trying to say like, oh, I just hate that sports have gone so woke and they're so lib and all these things. It's like, well, because we have decided to leave the fight. Like, I don't think there's any other outlet that has the potential to bring people together better than sports. I don't think anybody can provide any sort of entity or outlet that does that. I mean, just look at the Olympics. You have war-torn countries that can settle it on the field, the court, or the mat. That is an unbelievably beautiful thing. And then a lot of times, too, when people go to sports games, you know, it's not like that much anymore, but we are fighting back to make sure that, like, sports is an outlet away from the craziness of the world. And we don't need to see the politics infused. We don't need to see the godlessness infused. But a lot of times in our lives, when we go to a game, it's like you're either going to see the A's and the Giants. Mostly if you're going there, you got like a 50-50 split. You're rooting for the A's. You're rooting for the Giants. I want this team to win. You want this team to win. I don't care how you voted. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I have no idea where you came from. I don't know how much money you got in your bank account. We're just there to cheer on competition, and that's it. And it's all about meritocracy. So I think the things that you learn in sports, and especially the way that not only the left is trying to hijack professional sports, but youth sports, these kids should not have to worry about social justice. They shouldn't have to worry about this whole like DEI nonsense. Sports is about meritocracy. Over the last 20 years, it's been one starting white cornerback in the NFL. I don't care what color you are.
Right.
I want the best player on the Atlanta Falcons. That's it.
Right.
I could care less. They're black, white, purple, yellow, green, whatever. But I think when we start instilling some of the things that we learn in sports, like discipline, teamwork, sacrifice, those kind of things have helped make me the man that I am today. And I feel like a lot of these things that we can learn in sports, I mean, we even see in the Christian life, what are we supposed to do? Run the race.
Yeah.
You know, obviously that might be like pulling too much out of the text, but in general, like I think when you're in sports, you're learning how to fight in a sportsmanlike manner. You're learning how to push yourself to a limit that you also should see within your spiritual life. You should always be pushing. You don't always want to go and do that practice. You might just want to play in the games, but you got to get into the word. So when you get into the game, when you have to give a defense for the hope that you have, you put in the practice, you're in the right community. I think there's a lot of things we learn in sports. And sports, if we completely take ourselves away, it's going to be unrecognizable. And it's going to be so godless. It's going to be so leftist. And we're seeing differences being made, just like what's going on in the NHL. They're no longer wearing pride jerseys in warmups. Yes, that means they're no longer wearing military jerseys or any sort of specialty jerseys. But they're realizing that this is not only a distraction, but there is an aspect of people fighting back to say, like, this is godlessness.
And this is that was basically like one guy, right? Stood up and was like, yeah. No, I'm good. So, and then it was like,
multiple. So Ivan Provorov from the Flyers, Stahl brothers from the Panthers, and then James Reimer from the Sharks. And I think there might have been somebody else, but there's multiple players that stood up. And then also too, there's a lot of influence that fans have. If you don't like the direction they're going, you can easily hit up the commissioner's office, the top dogs in these leagues. You can stop buying NBA league pass. You can stop buying jerseys, season tickets, single game tickets, and you can make your voice heard and you can make a huge difference. And I think we're starting to see some of that, but I love sports. And as long as you don't make it an idol, you're not letting it take away from your family, your community, getting into the word. And if it's not glorifying to God, and you just want to watch the Monday night football game and it's taken away from hanging out with your kids or fellowshipping with friends,
right?
You can do both at the same time, but that's why I think I love sports. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm definitely tracking with you. There's a lot of good, godly, biblical principles that are incorporated in sports too, right? I would even say some proverb-esque kind of wisdom in sports with team building, discipline, all that kind of stuff, which leads me to kind of what I want to talk to next, but you touched on it. So do you believe, are we at the tipping point to where sports has become too political? I mean, it seems like we always have some type of activism going on in every game. The NFL has three or four different things almost every game. It feels like you see it in the NBA on the court, they're painting certain things and doing, and it feels like, now I got, this is a two-parter though, because it feels like we really pushed it over the last 5 years. But I also feel like there's starting to be like a little bit of a pushback and ease on that, just in the fact that in the NFL this year, I've never seen so many star players after interviews, like literally preaching the word before they start their interview. Like, it's insane. Like I live in Michigan. My son is 9. He started playing football 3 years ago. When he got into it, he became Ohio State fan. Broke my heart, right? I'm U of M. He's Ohio State. It is what it is. But at the time, they've been
in the way that they should go,
Greg. I know, right? they've been beating up on us for 10 years. We've got him the last 3 years. But the point was, is he loves CJ Stroud, right? And then you watch him in the NFL, and this guy's just out here. I want to give all glory to God. Oh, yeah, that was a good catch. I mean, some of these guys are going on for 30, 45 seconds and really using some language where my ears go, okay, that's not a surface level, like I'm accepting my Grammy and thanking God. This is like there's a faith there. And I've seen this a lot in the NFL. I've seen a little bit more in the NBA, and I'm going, okay, so the Lord is working through, because people are watching that. You know what I mean? People are listening to it. Some people look up to those athletes in probably an idol-esque way and then go, okay, well, what is this guy talking? I mean, the Lord can use CJ Stroud just as much as he can use anyone else in anything we're doing. So I have a little bit of hope too, where I'm going, I'm starting to see, we heard about the Russell Wilsons and stuff, even 10 years ago, he was leading his team in Bible studies and stuff like that when he was on the Seahawks. That's good. I'm saying it's almost becoming a little more open to where it's like, okay, you want to talk about, cancer survivors and trans rights and homosexuality and all this other stuff that these sports teams and players are pushing. Well, then the other players that are believers are like, cool, well, then I can talk about my faith. And it's kind of this weird double-edged sword to where I feel like I'm starting to see some, I don't want to say pushback, but starting to see, okay, look at, if you want to talk about love is love, well, I'm going to talk about, glorifying Christ every time I touch the football. And it's like, that's interesting too, to where, are you seeing that kind of dynamic in sports where it's opened up across the board? And two, do you believe it's become too political? Should we take some of that stuff out?
Yeah, before I get to, is it too political? The simple answer is yes. But what you're seeing now, like you said, is, even if people watch the Bengals against the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, solid Christian, He's become a great QB in the NFL, but he ended up hurting his ankle, and the defensive end, I'm going blank on his name. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. But he tried to help up Trevor Lawrence.
I saw it on your feed.
Like, I tried to share that stuff on my platform quite a bit. And what he did right away when Trevor Lawrence collapsed again is he got down on a knee and he prayed immediately. And like, that is just such a beautiful testimony. And then also you see things that are a little bit more like on the nose, someone like CJ Stroud. So many people can talk about God. They can have their own understanding of like, God can mean a zillion different things to a zillion different people.
Sure.
Even someone like LeBron James will bring up God.
Yeah.
But like, does he mean big G God? Does he mean the God of the Bible? Like, based on his fruit, I would say 99.99999% sure it's not the God of the Bible. But CJ Stroud, he's saying, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like, that's a powerful statement. And then also, too, when you have someone like Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, for people that don't know what Mr. Irrelevant means, he was the final pick in the NFL draft 2 years ago. He's the front runner for most valuable player in the NFL. He is talked about on podcasts and openly about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like, those kind of things are not just like, man, I just thank God for all the blessings. I'm so glad I just signed this 3-year, $475 billion contract. Like, of course you're going to be thanking God for that blessing. Sure. But, you know, to see guys, like, even when they have struggles in some games, but they had a big drive at the end, they're giving all glory to God in the good and the bad. And that's what you want to see for kids like yours and everybody else that knows how woke sports have gone, because getting back to that, sports have become way too political. So you get to a point where, like, oh man, like, do I even want my kid watching this broadcast?
Right.
But when you have someone like CJ Stroud that you know is going to say, I'm giving all glory and power and authority to Jesus Christ, I thank him for the blessings, I thank him for the struggles. And obviously, like, CJ Stroud, he's leading the league in passing yards right now. He's having an unbelievable rookie season. But when we see that, it's like, that's a great example for kids. That's what sports are supposed to be. They don't need to get infused with all this social justice nonsense. Have kids start asking, you know, why did they do a black national anthem? I thought we had like one national anthem. And then it's like, why are we doing a pride night where we have men cosplaying women? There's a lot of leftism that's just been thrown into, and it's just godlessness. Aspects of Marxism we're going to see in the sport. A couple things, like, number one, we saw every single league go heavily into social justice. So they were kneeling for the flag and disrespecting our country. But the NHL ended up saying, after doing an audit of front offices, the amount of white people in the whitest sport in the history of the world, after that audit, they said the amount of white people in the front office is a problem. That is Marxism. Then we're going to go to the NBA, and then the WNBA. We can just kind of put those together because the NBA subsidizes the WNBA. We see a lot of great athletes in there, but, like, you know, who's someone that claims to be Christian but is not really bearing good fruit? Steph Curry. He says he doesn't know what he feels about abortion, and then he's going to go and platform Stacey Abrams, who believes that the heartbeat that you hear when you go to the doctor's office is some fabricated sound based in white supremacy. And then they're going to have George Floyd there on their courts, and they're going to have a social justice award winner at the end of the season. NFL, you're going to see end racism in the end zone. So there's an incredible amount of virtue signaling. And then you're going to see other leagues like the MLB. They took away the All-Star game from Atlanta a couple seasons ago because Joe Biden ended up calling voting the new voting laws they had that said you need to have a state-issued ID in order to vote. Joe Biden called it Jim Crow 2.0. And then the MLB like fell in line, and they ripped the All-Star game away from a predominantly black community. And where did they ship it off to? Colorado, an incredibly leftist city, but more of a predominantly white city. So these things start not making sense, but the Braves ended up winning the World Series that year. And it's like the MLB is forced to host the World Series in Atlanta. And that's a beautiful thing. But I think we're seeing some people like fight back. We see the Rangers, they ended up winning the World Series. They're the one team in Major League Baseball that doesn't celebrate Pride Night. And then we're seeing what happened in the NHL. There's no longer pride uniforms that players are going to be forced to to wear. Yes, they kind of cowered when it came to Pride tape most recently, but I think we're seeing people fight back. Players are realizing they have a lot of power, and I think we're slowly but surely getting sports to a better place. But we also have to remember, like, I think this kind of virtue signaling and this social justice and this DEI stuff, it's going to be there for good. And I think we have to understand that the Rooney Rule, in case people, this is my last thing I have for all the leftism in sports, because it would be like a CVS receipt I could go through with all the nonsense that's right. happening in sports. But the Rooney Rule is basically telling every single NFL team that you guys need to at least put a black or minority candidate and put them in an interview process when you're looking for a head coach. It's right. insanity. So now it's literally about the color of your skin that you can't, like, I didn't ask to be white. There's nothing we can do about our whiteness, just like anybody with their blackness or whatever it may be. You're now saying we're going to see people by the color of their skin, or they can't even explain what gender is, but they'll say, like, yeah, you should probably have like a female interviewed as well. Even though, like, you can't.
What's really a woman? Yeah. That.
So, but that's what we're seeing. But those kind of things are going to be involved in sports, and they can get compensated for these kind of things if they end up hiring black or minority people. It's insanity, but virtue signaling will be there. But hopefully we can continue to fight back against things like pride and sexual immorality like that.
Yeah. So I don't want to belabor this too long, but what is crazy to me is, like you said, meritocracy. That is kind of, sports has always been that, like, whoever's best, whoever can do it best. It's like, you know, think of Jackie Robinson, think of some of these things, to where the fact that it was just, we don't care what color you are. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a long time where minorities were locked out of major league sports, but they broke through, and then it was, oh geez, yeah, let's go, whatever can help us win. We don't care what color you are, where you're from. You know what I mean? Baseball really embraced that. We probably have more Dominicans playing in the MLB right now than even Americans, it feels like, you know, citizen wise. But my point being is that was almost like the true equalizer. It's like, if nothing else, sports kind of broke through, and it was that place where I didn't get politics. I didn't have to talk about race. I didn't have to talk about, you know, the crap going on at work. Like, it was like, who cares where they're from, what they are? I want my team to win. I want the best guy playing. And it was this equalizer that now we've kind of gone the exact opposite way. And now it's like, okay, let's get back into intersectionality, and you're black and you're white and you're minority, and, you know, you're from this country and you did this and you're this gender. And it's like, man, it felt like it. Now, I don't want to sugarcoat the past, but it's like, once that barrier was broken, you know, you even think of like Alabama football and the movie they made off of that, to where it was like, I know this is wrong, but and Shane Gillis does a great bit on this, a stand-up comic talking about
one of the,
like,
best stand-up bits.
But once they found out these guys could win some football games, like, let's go. You know, they solved racism in a high school football season. But it's this weird thing to where it's like, it that does naturally kind of work when it's like, hey, let's, you know, and it works very well in the military as well, which that's a whole nother discussion, how we're disrupting that, where it's like, when you're all the same and you're all fighting for one cause, and I don't care what color you look and how much you weigh and what color eyes you are, or, you know, what your hair looks like, we're all just going towards this, and we're all the same. And there's a really equalizing force in that. And it's kind of crazy how we've gone backwards now. And now it's like you said, like, would you call it the Rooney Rule? Is that what it is? I didn't know what it was called.
The Rooney Rule in the NFL.
Where you're forced to interview certain people to where, golly, could you imagine if you have a person who is never going to get that job just because you know their qualifications, but you have to put them through the interview process because of that rule? Man, what a disservice you're doing to that person too, wasting everyone's time. And you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's disrespectful to that person.
I mean,
if someone at any bit of them is thinking, am I only in this interview process because I'm black? Am I only in this interview process because I'm a minority? Am I only in this interview process because I'm a female? Like, this is not progressive. It is progressive in the leftism sense, but we are not progressing towards a better society. So when we look at someone like Jackie Robinson, like, I love the movie 42. I love Jackie Robinson Day that they have in the MLB every single season. You're right. Yeah. It's the ultimate equalizer, because it comes down to, what are we doing? We're glorifying God and his word, saying that we are all made in the image of God, that we're not supposed to be elevating certain people or showing partiality to a certain people group, and then not caring for other people over here. Jackie Robinson and every player in the Negro Leagues deserved a fair shot. But that decision by the Brooklyn Dodgers was not virtue signaling. They saw someone like Jackie Robinson and said, it's almost like the Moneyball quote, like, can he get on base? Can he help us? Like, yes,
good movie.
We want to win games, and we want the best players to be on the field. And that's the thing that's such a bummer to see leagues continue to. I got a couple of things off this one. It's like, number one is, you see the NFL specifically, they're like, wow, look at the amount of black quarterbacks we have. And it's just like, can they win games? Like, that's it. That's all. Right. That's all we're worried about, these black starting quarterbacks. Can you win football games? And then number two, we're seeing that another issue in sports is biological men transitioning to women, cosplaying women like Will Thomas, and taking women's opportunities, taking women's trophies, taking awards, and ruining the record books. And they are considering someone like Will Thomas a trailblazer, like Jackie Robinson. Like, I mean, I was out there. I was out there at the women's swimming championships, and seeing that, I'm like, I cannot believe that people are trying to compare the two things. Because again, just like interviewing a black person for an NFL coaching job just because they're black is incredibly insulting, it's also insulting to the legacy of Jackie Robinson and all the work that he did, if someone like Will Thomas is being compared to him. Like, that is nonsensical. Yeah. It's not trailblazing. It's regressive. And I think hopefully people continue to speak out about it, because all the left is doing is they're starting to like eat themselves a little bit. But we're seeing other broadcasters that have pretty prominent platforms, like Sage Steele, that are speaking out against this stuff. She used to work at ESPN, and it's like, this is nonsense. Like, I'm going to support Riley Gaines over here and say, like, we need to protect women's sports. These women need to make sure that they have a level playing field, in the sense of they have biological females competing with them. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's so good. Okay, so let's talk about this new podcast, because you didn't even really know what we were going to talk about too much here today. And obviously, as people can hear and see, I mean, you're very knowledgeable, you know your sports, and you can obviously carry on a conversation very intelligently. So I heard that you were starting a new podcast. I don't know when it's going to launch, but tell us the idea and when you think that's going to come out, and what it's going to be about.
Yeah, because I'm going through a few different options right now. Okay. But, you know, I didn't hear a voice from God that said, John, start a show or a podcast. But I've been blessed with a skill set that I want to use for the glory of God. And one of the things that I'm really tossing around there is having conversations that we're really not hearing, like based on specific topics, trying to almost like broker conversations that we desperately need, whether in the faith circles, political realm, sports, and like everything in between. There's plenty of times too where, you know, I see things like there's such a huge Catholic influence within conservatism. How can we have a legit conversation with some prominent people to make sure here is the truth, not a debate, but let's dive into these kind of things. There's aspects of like providing an outlet for hopefully, you know, like athletes or other prominent sports broadcasters to say like, hey, you covered a few of these little things in tweets online. But let's have a full on good conversation about something you've been afraid to share since working in broadcast sports media. So I'm tossing that around a little bit, and it's probably would be something that would be like once a month. But you know, there's constant, especially too, when I even think of something like, the Christian nationalism conversation. So how can we, if certain prominent figures are not going to sit down, with each other, how do I do kind of something similar to what happened with Owen? It's like, here's the questions that are being asked, and here's how we can get some clear answers. and then allow people to speak for themselves and then run with it. So that's what I'm thinking a little bit more, something that would, you know, I don't know if that turns into maybe we're doing it something like this where it's virtual, or I want to do something that's, you know, just fairly topical, a little bit more evergreen, but still to the point, and, you know, go to a specific location and set it up. So I'm still kind of in the early stages, but I know kind of like that tweet was, I'm putting it out there. I've been talking to multiple people about on the production side and yeah. others about how to go about these things. And I was like, this is just going to kind of keep my feet to the fire. And I know something I'm definitely thinking about more is I was in the crosshairs of the Chosen controversy where they had the pride flag on set.
Yeah.
And the Chosen social media account, the official social media account, responded to me directly. And then I even know that like Dallas Jenkins subtweeted me and some other posts. And then, you know, I got called homophobic and hateful and a bad Christian, but season four of the show is coming out. And, you know, I think of something like there's some prominent, really prominent people that have spoken out against the Chosen and maybe just provide it in a way that's just like a loving warning. And our main focus would be like, here's some of the problems and then filter everything through scripture. Don't go and not watch that show just because John said so. It's like, no, if this doesn't align biblically and what you believe that we're presenting to you, convicts you enough to be like, you know what, I think this is leading me down a path of this is portraying a different Jesus. There's aspects of Mariology in there. There's aspects of, you know, a lack of the sovereignty of God. You can get into like the second commandment thing. I know like Vodi Bakum has said that where it's like, I just can't get into it because of that specifically. Like we can have that conversation too. But I think a lot of it comes down to there's conversations that aren't happening. Too many of us are talking past each other, and how can it be something that is entertaining, uplifting, and challenging in a way that's hopefully going to be something that people want to watch or listen to once a month?
Yeah. So what's our timeline on that? Do you have any public timeline on when you think that's going to start dropping or no?
So what I'm thinking is, yeah, it's going to be, I would imagine it's probably getting more like middle of next year.
Okay.
That's probably what I would like to do because I'm getting married early.
Congratulations. Next year.
And thank you. I know I found someone silly enough to say, you know what, John, you know, I'll hang out with you the rest of your life. Death do us part. Sarah's a beautiful soul. And she's amazing inside and out. But I know with leading up to the wedding, I don't really want to, you know, bite off more than I can.
Yeah, it's not going to be, oh, we can't get married in June. That's when the first episode drops, honey.
Sorry, honey. Like, I just got a massive fish. You know, I threw the line out there, honey. It's like, you know, we can figure this out, right? Like, let's talk to the venue. Yeah. It's, no, I don't want to get on Sarah's bad side before she even says I do. I don't want her to have to question that.
Well, congratulations on that, being engaged to, man. Thank Marriage you. Is a good thing. Finding a wife is a blessing from the Lord. And we'll be watching for the podcast. We'll be watching the Twitter X feed and stuff too. We know when it comes out, we'll make sure we promote it here too so people can take a listen. All right, let's put bookends on this, finish this up. You want to stick around and play Fresh 10 with us? That's where we ask our guests 10 fresh questions, rapid fire. They don't know what they are, but it allows you to endear yourself to the audience and the audience to get to know you a little bit more. You want to go?
I don't know why I just got so nervous, but let's party. Let's do it.
Let's go. Yo, can we kick that one more time? Let's go. All right, 10 fresh questions with John Root. Let's get going with question number one here. What city and state did you grow up in, and how did that affect your childhood?
So I was born in Walnut Creek, California. That's in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it definitely affected the way that I see the rest of the country, I guess, when I'm stuck in a very liberalized city. But I turned out okay.
Turned out okay. Very good. Question number two, what's your favorite funny story to tell people? Let's say you're in a social situation. Maybe people are telling jokes or a little intro story or something to tell about yourself. What's a go-to that you go, you want to know what? This one always gets them. You got one?
Yeah. It's funny. I got a job with the Sharks minor league hockey team. It was their first season in San Jose. They're on the East Coast. And then, so I got hired to be their in-arena host, the first in-arena host the Sharks organization had. And right before I'm going to do my first pregame hit, like the place is packed. Like there are like over 10,000 people in the building for a minor league hockey game. And I realized that my pen blew up in my pants. Like it's just like your worst nightmare. So I literally have like this black hand that I'm like, I had to hold my mic with the other hand. And I was like, I'm already kind of nervous. And like, I always tell people about that where I'm like, I am sweating way too much and I'm trying to get a crowd like pumped up. And I'm like, I'm desperately trying to scrub it off and stuff like that. But that's one of the stories that I give people from like the hosting days. Like that was, oh my goodness. That was, my heart sank. I was like, I can't believe I'm going to get fired on my first day.
I didn't tell that cameraman. Black hand. Just keep it out of frame, cameraman. Just keep it out of frame for me. All right. Question number three. We are in the DeLorean. The flux capacitor is fluxing. Are we going back in time to visit our great-great-grandfather? Are we going forward in time to visit our great-great-grandson?
We're going back in time. I don't really want to know what the future is like. I would actually like to see a little bit more, like from my little understanding of history. I would like to go back to those days for sure.
Okay, back in time. I like it. Yep. Good song as well, too. Question number four, what's something people would be surprised to know about you? Maybe they make an assumption about you, or they would be surprised just to know about you just from either interacting with you or looking at you.
Probably a couple different things. I'm an artsy guy. I've always liked, drawing and painting. I used to do that a lot years ago. I used to do like custom shoes. Actually, that was like a side hustle of mine. Okay. I've always enjoyed art. And then another thing too, is just, I'm actually a pretty emotional guy. So I'm like, not just in the sense of like, oh, I have such a zeal for Christ. And then you'll see with my content that clearly I care, but I'm more of the kind of guy that like, if I'm watching a movie, you're probably going to see me bawling my eyes out. And I'm going to be like, I'm a guy that's not afraid to cry. Like I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, like volume 3, and I'm sitting there in the theater and I'm like, I'm crying about this CGI raccoon. And like, I'm just an emotional guy, and it just hit me in the feels, and I'm not afraid to show it.
Yeah. Well, I noticed at a certain point after I had started having some children, anything that had to do with like the abuse of children or like, you know, Taken. So it really gets to you. It got me a little sweaty in the eyes too. And you're like, when he finally like kills that guy that's, you know, or, you know, gets the bad guy for doing stuff to kids, you're like, oh, thank God. It's such a relief. It's a weird thing. It was like after I had kids, I got a little, you know, like you said, hitching the feels on some of those things. All right. Question number five, top three bands or music albums that have influenced your life the most. They can be anything. They can be Christian, secular. Be honest. What's influencing you, or what are the top three bands that have influenced you or albums?
I would say that, Jesus Freak was probably like one of my favorite albums ever. Like DC Talk. That was so awesome growing up. I love Need to Breathe. Need to Breathe is my favorite band. I finally got to see them in person a couple months ago. Thanks to Sarah, my fiance, getting me a ticket for that. That was amazing. And then, I mean, I've always really enjoyed John Mayer, too.
Yeah.
I think like he's just an incredible musician. And I mean, I've gotten to see him like 3 times in concert now. And it's one of those where like, he puts on a great show, and it's a lot of fun. And it's one of those, I've never felt like it's ever been like a political show either. Like I, no doubt I'd probably like disagree with aspects of his politics or something like that. But I'm like, I love that I'm able to go and enjoy someone that has an incredible voice, and they've done so many different kinds of genres with their albums. And I go to a show and I'm like, I would recommend this to absolutely anybody.
Yeah. Phenomenal guitar player. For sure.
Yep.
Question number six, moving right along. Favorite thing to do when you just want to relax?
Man, it would have to be either just watching a sports game, which also I'd have to admit might not be relaxing if I have a fantasy football player or a bet on that game. So maybe we'll axe that. I really geek out on Lord of the Rings. There's an amazing, either I'll just watch the extended editions, which also might not be that relaxing. I'll admit, but there's a YouTube channel called Nerd of the Rings. I can't remember the guy that does it, but oh man, I just geek out over things like, oh, what if Gandalf took the ring and here's what it would have looked like. And I'm like, there's been times I've had days where I'm like, I'm just going to relax and I'm going to binge watch Nerd of the Rings. It's amazing.
Dude, hey, you ain't lying. No, that's good stuff. We're a Lord of the Rings family over here too. We'll go through Hobbit, then to Lord of the Rings. It'll be like a 3-day, binge fest. All right, question number 7. What do people misunderstand about you the most? What's something that they may assume about you, or just misunderstand about maybe you, your personality, or something? You go, no, that's not true. It's just kind of the reputation I have, but it's not true.
That's a good question. I mean, especially too, when I'm in the content creation game, there's so many times I'll share something that is so rooted in biblical truth. Somebody is just going to call me like hateful. Probably the biggest misconception is probably a couple things. Is probably just number one is that, especially when I've spoken on college campuses, that I'm unloving, that somehow when I share the truth, and I believe that I'm not out there, I'm not like a Westboro Baptist kind of person. I'm not like picketing. I'm not like beating people down with the word, but like I'm going to give the truth. And some people will see that as unloving or, just not the right way to go about things. Because a lot of times people just don't like being involved in conflict, and I'm involved in conflict quite a bit. So that gets people squirmy. And then probably number two on the political side, it would be, people unfortunately thinking that like I fall along with like the Trump train and that like Trump would say I'm on board with, but probably out of any Christian conservative content creator, I'm probably going to be the one calling out his nonsense more than anybody, but still saying voted for the guy twice. Leading into this next election, let's make sure we hold people to a biblical standard, but also knowing that like I'm not holding him to some sort of elevated Christian standard that he doesn't platform that he doesn't deserve or pedestal that he doesn't deserve.
Yeah. No, I agree on the big meanie one, because we've co-opted, the culture has co-opted the word love to mean approval instead of truth. Yep. So it's a weird thing to where if you don't absolutely approve of someone, then you don't love them, which is not true. All right. Question number 8. If you could sit down for a cup of coffee with any historical figure, who would it be and why? Outside of Christ, can't be Christ. Everyone would say that maybe. So outside of that, who are you sitting down with having a cup of coffee with for about an hour, dead or alive?
Because obviously if we're just going to go like the biblical route, it's hard to pass up someone like Paul.
It's a pretty popular answer.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be one of the most popular answers. And I think something too, it would be a lot of just, I would geek out. Like if I could have anybody like on a podcast, like to be able to like sit down with Paul and like, I'm not going to have any real like, oh, here's John Root's opinion. Oh my goodness. Like just what a, like filled with the Holy Spirit, and martyred for Christ. Like I just can't imagine that kind of stuff. Like we can hear a lot of mean comments, but like, I could never imagine what he went through. But if I didn't go biblical figure, it'd most likely be John Wooden.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. All right. 2 more. Question number 9. What's a movie you've watched multiple times?
Lord of the
Rings. Doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite, but one you've watched multiple. Would you say Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings, Gladiator, Airplane, okay. Father of the Bride. Yeah, those are all in. And then Moneyball.
Those are all good movies. All right. Well, last one for Fresh 10. What is a book outside of the Bible that everyone should just take a look at, should read, and take a look at and open up?
If it's still along the Christian route, let me get this one and hopefully it doesn't fall. Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis.
There it is. I cut you off with the outro music, but yeah, Mere Christianity is almost like enough said. It's one of my favorite books. I'm so glad you pulled that. But why do you like it?
Well, I mean, it's one of those two that I get so humbled reading this book. Like I have had to reread pages 1,000 times here because I'm like, I can't even speak right. I like to feel that I'm articulate at times, but I am not an intellectual. And You know, I'm going to speak to issues and hopefully be knowledgeable and credible when I speak to those issues. But I read something like this and I'm like, wow, like that is just such a incredible breakdown that I'm like, I just don't know. Not that I'm going to try to put God in a box, but I'm like, I just don't have the ability literally to put something like that, not only to come to my head, but put that in writing in a way that people can understand. And, you know, especially this on top of, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and, you know, that entire series, it's just like, this guy is a genius, and he was best friends with J.R.R. Tolkien. So like, obviously I'm just going to like really enjoy the stuff that he puts out there. And then if I didn't choose something that was on the nose Christian, no other book have I read more than The Phantom Tollbooth. It's a children's book, but if people haven't heard of it, it's just the allegory and analogies used in that book. I just like geek out on it. It's fun to just kind of get away and feel like I can read a children's book and feel like, wow, this is fairly profound.
Awesome. Yeah. And no one really used analogies quite like C.S. Lewis, especially talking about faith and Christianity, things like that. All right, John, we're going to link it all up, but throw it out there for the people. Where can they find you at on social media if they want to follow?
Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram and Twitter currently. It's at Johnny Root _ JONNYROOT. I also have a YouTube channel. It's at John Root, JONROOT. You're mostly going to see a lot of shorts there, but I have things from like faith, sports, culture, a lot of different like really hot topics, hopefully with a good biblical breakdown.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, man, and spending some time with us, getting to know you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're the man, bro. Thank you.
Same there. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. We appreciate you guys following everywhere on social media, Dead Men Walking Podcast, except for Twitter. They didn't give us that, Real DMW Podcast. You can follow us there. Check us out at dmwpodcast.com for any merch or to get to know us a little bit more. Leave a comment, leave a voicemail, give us show ideas. We love it all, guys. As always, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.